Hello, everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. Thank you for downloading the show. I'm putting this little intro in here because at the end of the show, the audio sounds a little bit different. That is because musician Al Scorch decided to perform his final two songs in the audience, so I had to bump the audio so you could hear it. And it's very good, then, so I kept it in. Yeah, that's why it's like that. I would also like to tell you that I am in Chicago this week, and you can see me on Wednesday, May 6th at Saki as a part of 8x8, which is a show that I do in D.C. that used to be in Chicago. So it's at 7 p.m. It's free. Come on out. And yeah, that's it. Thanks for downloading, and I hope you enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. We're doing this to a very, very, very full Wonderland Ballroom. It's a fun night. Oh, thank you for lying. Liars. I'm surrounded by liars. I know you guys have really been wanting to hear what a straight white man thinks about what's going on in Baltimore, so here we go. The past 1 or 3 days on social media, what a controversial statement. This guy doesn't like social media. Wow. He deserves a talk show on the television. No, it's, oh, fuck. All right, so I'm only on it due to my job. Honestly, I'm on social media because of my job and because of this thing, because in theory I want people to show up. That's why I'm on it. So I don't get to pick what I see. I just end up blocking a lot of people over and over again. So I've blocked a lot of people over and over again. So I'm obviously not going to talk about Baltimore at all other than that. That we're done with that. That notepad gets thrown away. Okay, we're done with that. So it's like, all right, what's going on in that world that I can talk about, that I'm okay to talk about, that I have like an idea of what's going on? And there's a brand new bar in Adams Morgan called The High Dive. Now, I did a first look for my job of The High Dive. And The High Dive is taking over for the old Pharmacy spat. Now, if you're not from Washington, D.C., Pharmacy was one of the only, in theory, dive bars, neighborhood bars in Adams Morgan. In reality, it's not a dive bar because High Life should never cost $4 anywhere you go. I think it's $4 here. Is that right, Dario? $4 here, perfect. Not a dive bar. There are no real dive bars in Washington, D.C., whatever. So I wrote this piece about the bar, and I was like, there's four Guns N' Roses CDs on the jukebox. So if you like that, this is a place you could play horrible music. That's nice. There's a Street Fighter II arcade game. That's, in theory, cool. That's a thing you could do. Whatever. It's a bar, fun times, and I genuinely like those guys. And I go on Tuesday, and I have a fun time with my wife. We drink alcohol, beverages, because that's what you do in bars, and that's a fine thing to do. And the next day, I wake up, and I have a brand new follower on Twitter, and it's someone that does not like me, and I know she doesn't like me, because the first time I ever met her 3 years ago, she goes, "I don't like you," so I understood that. Because I took over a job for somebody that she did like. I took over a job at Huffington Post, which is the best site for stealing other people's work. It was amazing. Huffington Post, that's where I used to work. And the person before me did a lot of food stuff. And she's like, "You don't do food stuff. I don't like you. I don't like that." And I said, "Okay!" And then I laughed in her face. Because that's the kind of guy I am. Anyways, she followed me on Twitter. I was like, "That's weird. She told me to my face she doesn't like me." And I find out, oh, the guys at the High Dive posted a photo of the homeless guy sleeping out in front of their bar and said, "Someone's excited for opening night." So it's like, fuck! That's what's going on. That's the big problem in D.C. this week. The dive bar that no longer has the fucking 40 punk rock CDs from bands no one's heard of, and they have Guns N' Roses because they genuinely like them. They're getting shit on by the critic from the Washington Post. I probably shouldn't say that considering my wife works there now, but fuck that. My show, my time. Anyways, he's mad because there's not fucking Discord Utopia on the jukebox. They have Stone Temple Pilots Core on the jukebox. They genuinely like that band. That's the kind of guys they are. There's nothing wrong with that. They're fine people, except this whole homeless thing. They're horrible people. Anyways, so that's what I'm associated with this week. And that's boring. You don't give a shit. You're not there. We're not in that bar. We're in a different bar. Who gives a shit? So what can I talk about tonight? If I'm not going to change the world with my social media status about Baltimore, how am I going to change the world? So I got to review the upcoming Kurt Cobain documentary for work. I wrote 1,700 words on that documentary. Most reviews are 600 words max for a reason, but I decided I should write 1,700 words. because I've spent $1,700 buying Nirvana memorabilia over the past 20 years. That's not healthy, guys. I highly recommend that anyone listening watches it. It's a very, very good documentary. The first 70 minutes, there's a lot of information that even Uber fans like me don't know. And by the way, I'm not being like, oh, I'm an Uber fan, I'm better than you. I don't have a Nirvana tattoo. Fred Durst has a Nirvana tattoo. He's got a giant Kurt Cobain, I'm not joking, on his chest. If you listen to the show, you've heard my interview with Fred Durst from this year. He is the dumbest millionaire I've ever met. I am not bragging that I know a lot about Nirvana. But that's what I did. And so that put me in a really sad space because I think we all know how that story ends. It doesn't end well, is what I'm saying. He swallows guns, is how that story ends. And it's sad. And in the documentary, you see him blatantly on heroin trying to hold his daughter, and you're like, oh, it's a good documentary that I'll never watch again. Today I found out that most people stop listening to new music at 33. I'm 32 years old. I need to find a new band now. I need to find a new favorite band right away because I can't just listen to sad bullshit over and over and over again. So I decided to do what a lot of people that don't know how to use Twitter correctly, and that's listen and consider the three bands I listen to the most. Could they be my new favorite band outside of Nirvana? Okay, so number one is Kanye West. Kanye West is the guy I listen to most. He's Kurt Cobain if Kurt Cobain had confidence. Okay? Don't boo me. I will fight you with fists. You know who wouldn't fight you with fists? Kurt Cobain, because he was sad. I don't got time for that sad bullshit. I only got time to have sex with people I want to have sex with. That's a Kanye West reference, not reflecting my lifestyle. My wife is a wonderful person. I wouldn't do that to her. I think she's in the room now, so I have to be careful what I say. Kanye's the best. He's also from Chicago. The guy booing is on the show tonight, by the way, so we're going to have a fun time. But that's not good because people hate you if Kanye West is your favorite artist, as they should, because they're jealous. Second artist I listen to the most all time is Curtis Mayfield. That does not end well either. Curtis Mayfield wrote some of the most important psychedelic rock music of all time. He wrote some of the most important soul music of all time. He ran his own label for a while. He was the only really successful artist, but it doesn't matter. He tried, is what I'm trying to say. And he wrote a lot of songs about social change, and he was amazing, and he's very sad. And that's not good. I don't want to just listen to sad music my whole life. The number three artist I listen to the most is Big Frida. Now, Big Frida is amazing. Queen Diva. I am not those things. Big Frida sings songs about butts and yells at people to bend over, to put dicks in butts, which I am 100% in support of as long as it's consensual. But that's not me. I can't, it's been a long day at work. I just want to unwind and put on some Big Frida. That's not how that works. Certain scenarios is where that works. So I can't listen to Big Frida all the time. So it can't be my top three. So I've been thinking, who's the one band that actually has the, ethos of Nirvana and does everything the right way? Insane Clown Posse. Now, Insane Clown Posse is a band, a very, very, very important band. They're so important that they have their own festival. You know, not a lot of people have their own festivals. And to the man making fart noises, I understand. That's right. It's a gathering. It's not just about music, it's about family. Now, similar to Kurt Cobain, I have a very disjointed family. I didn't know my dad. I don't need a dad because I got my family. I got this gathering around me. We're all friends. We're family. They also have their own wrestling league. I like wrestling. I'm like them. We're the same. Friendship. Family. Gathering. ICP wrestling. They also have a comedy section at the gathering. They love comedy. I love comics. There's comics on the show all the time. I'm doing a comedy festival in Omaha with the lead singer from Bright Eyes. That's the same as ICP. We're the same. A lot of people don't know this, but ICP essentially supports a small town in Michigan. 100% of their merchandise, 100% is made in a small Michigan town. No one else does that. The Hot Topic shirt I got from Nirvana in 97, not made in Michigan. Nothing I own from Nirvana's $1,700 I spent was ever made in the United States. None of it. ICP, 100% of it. But the you should say, wow, they're very important. But the problem is, I'm not a Christian clown. And they're Christian clowns. And I think they're going to judge me for not being a Christian clown. And I don't want that either. So if I can't have ICP, and I can't have Kanye West, even though I really want to be Kanye West, and I don't want to be sad all the time, the only person left is Drake. That's it, just Drake. It's going to be Drake. But Drake's a liar. Drake is a liar. Wait till you wait on the booze here. I have points to make. Welcome to my TED Talk about Drake. Now, Aubrey seems like a nice man. He's from Canada. Canada's nice. Canada has hockey. I love hockey. Big Chicago Blackhawks fan. Don't boo me. We have cups. Multiple cups. That's a penis reference. Athletes have to wear a cup. Smart athletes wear a cup. Anyways, Drake's not a teen. I could like people that aren't teens anymore as an adult man. That seems fine. Drake's friends with Nicki Minaj. She seems like a nice lady. Drake got in a fight over Rihanna. I like that idea. Drake makes music. That counts. He's a musician. I don't like his music, but I understand him. I get it. But Drake's a liar because he's playing a show on the National Mall and tickets are $100, but the festival's not advertising that there's an entire free section. The Landmark Music Festival that's happening in Washington, D.C. at the end of September has an entire free section that has not been advertised. So a bunch of dumb kids, because if you like Drake, you're a dumb kid, have bought $100 tickets to see Drake. There's nothing left, everybody. Music is bullshit. There's one guy I like, and his name is Al Scorch, and he's on the show tonight. You know why I like Al? You know why I like Al? I like Al for multiple reasons. One of those reasons is he plays banjo, but he's not a fucking hick. He's from Chicago. That's true.
That is true.
That's true. No, don't do that. That's really loud, because that's the banjo mic. You don't get to talk during my monologue. Okay. Another reason I like Al is because he made a video, a rap video, and I like rap, and he likes rap, and he plays banjo, about how Mayor Rahm Emanuel is a horrible piece of shit. He's a Chicago mayor. Chicago mayor. The only real mayor that counts. That's fair. That's fair. That's fair. I say a lot of fair things on this show. That's what the show is known for. The fair things that I say. And another reason I like Al, and this is I don't know if anyone's going to like this, but I love this, is Al is part of one of the smelliest shows I've ever been a part of. December 2010, Al, a young 24-year-old man, some would say a boy, but I say a man, dressed up as Santa Claus on December 26th, and we had a show at the Hungry Brain in Chicago, Illinois, the late, great Hungry Brain. And Al, as Santa Claus, had gifts for all the children. All of the children that don't use deodorant, he had gifts for. And his gift was a fully cooked tofurkey with stuffing to pass around the bar. And for a week, the bar smelled like rotted tofurkey. They also passed out cranberry sauce, which they had dumpster dope, and the cranberry sauce labels were from two label cycles ago, so probably 10-year-old cranberry sauce. Al Scorch, banjo, Santa Claus, bunch of atheists pretending there's a god. That's why Al Scorch is there. This is all that left. He is two steps away from being a Christian clown. Until then, we're good friends, ladies and gentlemen. Al Scorch is with me tonight. Please take.
I'll just talk.
I'm gonna give you this mic.
I'll just talk far away.
No. Talk into this mic.
Okay.
And Al currently lives in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And you made it all the way here.
I did.
How did you get here?
I got here on a mega bus. I paid $10.
That's right.
I paid $10.
Al, would you pay $100 to see the musician named Drake?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty good, right? He's pretty good. Pretty good. And what's cool about Al, Al knows how much I love Drake. So Al's going to play Drake songs throughout the entire night. It's going to be so much fun.
Is he started from the bottom, now I'm here?
That is him. Which is a lie.
Right.
A lie. He had a mom.
Mm-hmm.
Mom drove him to auditions.
He's like a Disney mom, like a showbiz mom, right?
That's right. Well, for Canada.
Right.
Which is like still a responsible mom.
Yeah.
But for Canada, not fit to have children. But for America, which is where we live.
Yeah. As you exploit the children.
That's right.
You make the money, bring them, make the money.
Do you have any kids yet?
No.
Do you want to have a kid?
Maybe.
You got a girlfriend.
I do.
Does she want to have a kids?
Yeah.
What's going on?
I'm infertile, Brandon.
How'd that happen?
Well, I fell down one day, and when I stood back up, it's just powder now.
When you stood back up, your penis instantly ejaculated powder?
Yeah, it was intense. Incredibly intense. I'd never had it happen before. Never since.
So maybe that was just a one-time thing.
Well, it's...
Do you think by the end of the show, you could possibly impregnate the woman you love, and then have kids, and then exploit that kid, and then get them on Degrassi season 18... I'm assuming they film seasons every 5 years.
You're making me believe in myself again. I think I could do it.
I think you could do it.
Mostly mental, you know?
That's how kids are made, everybody. It's all about mentality.
Mm-hmm. Mentality.
That's right. Well, I initially thought I was going to bring you up and you'd grab your banjo and you'd play a song. But I'm totally fine with just shooting the shit for 60 minutes with you.
Let's do it. I'll hit whatever you throw at me.
I don't like this at all.
Oh, it'll be great.
All right, that's fine. Now, what song are you going to open with? Which Drake ditty that you've interpreted? What's it called?
Well, I guess Started from the Bottom.
No. Do your actual title.
Okay.
What is it called?
What song am I going to play?
That's the question I asked you.
See, I didn't choose that yet.
What did you think was going to happen?
I thought I was going to sit up here for a minute and...
That, which is what's happening.
It's true.
And it's been more than one.
Okay.
What songs would you like to play this evening for the kind folks in the room and in the audio recording?
Yeah, let's see. What should I open with? That's a good question.
I don't know your entire catalog.
You're familiar with a few.
I am, but I've recently been listening to your sad songs, and I don't want to open with a sad song.
Let's not do that. Let's open with a happy song.
Let's open with a happy song.
Okay.
Will you play Lost at Sea later?
Yeah, I'll play that later.
The last time I saw Al, he played Lost at Sea, which is probably my favorite song of yours. It's not even on a record yet, is it?
No, it's recorded now.
I'm not trying... Oh, it is. Good. Excellent.
You want me to play? Cause
I kind of do, because it's... We're going to start with a sad song that I love. The last time you played this was at the last show at the Hungry Brain, and I actually teared up at one point.
Oh.
But then, to mask real emotions, I screamed at Al as soon as the song was done. And that's the last time I actually talked to you.
Yeah, that was
that's not a joke. This is how I interact with human beings that I genuinely like.
Yeah, I had to leave the show, so.
All right, play the song I love. Why don't you just start playing computers? Those never go out of tune.
Okay, cool. I'll play the song called Lost at Sea. This is nice. We're family again, Brandon.
Like ICP.
Yeah, just like ICP. I'll play this one. It's not recorded yet. It'll be on our new record that's getting worked on right now. When you were lost out on the waters, raging at the height of the storm, I couldn't help but recall a time when we were both just baby boys. And the stripes on the road struck by a streak of light from the east. I shimmered and changed in dawn's glimmering haze from yellow to pink. Thank you. left my chest, tears came rolling down. The same sun shone through the window. I thought of a world without you around. And I will not lie, my dear friend, it was the lonesomest sound. And then I picked up the phone and they told me that you had survived. And I fell down on the floor and continued to
Scorch, everybody.
I actually heard that going out of tune.
Yeah, right.
It was great.
It can happen.
It's so good. You're good.
You just keep it. You just keep playing.
Ah, that's cool. You're a cool guy that does cool things. Alexandra, are you in the room? Lovely. Coming to the stage is someone that's been on the show before, and I completely forgot that she was on the greatest show of You, Me, Them, Everybody of all time. It was a debacle. Give her the vocal microphone. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Alexandra Petrie, everybody. Alexandra is here.
Hello.
Alexandra, I'm not trying to objectify you in any way. You look quite nice tonight.
Oh, thank you.
Why don't more late night hosts preface their compliments to guests of the opposite gender? Go.
I think because the patriarchy, man.
That's right, the patriarchy.
I'm going to be an asshole and tell you to just take,
just take the mic. Yes, yes I do. I regret bringing it up here already, but I'd like to pace my comments with drinking.
For the listener at home, Alexandra has brought a beer to the stage. Alexandra, where did you go to school, college?
College, Harvard.
That's right. And the reason why I mention that is because if she went to Harvard and drinks beer, it's totally fine for me to drink beer whenever I want.
Yeah, 100%.
That's right. Thank you for supporting my alcoholism. Anyways, the reason why you're on the show tonight is because you have a brand new book coming out at the beginning of next month.
Yes, I do.
That's very cool.
I'm super excited and flabbergasted.
Why are you flabbergasted?
Because I like using the word flabbergasted.
Is that the only reason why you wrote a book?
Mostly just as excuses to use the word flabbergasted, I would say.
You should strive for more. Anyways, in addition to writing a book, you are a columnist for a paper of note.
Yes, a note paper, if you will. Ho, ho, ho. Sorry, I've started saying ho, ho, ho unironically, and it's like the worst decision I've made in my life.
If that is the worst decision you've made in your life, you have led an amazing life.
No, that was definitely hyperbole. I'm trying to think now what the actual worst decision is, because I feel like that's a logical follow-up question.
No, the follow-up question is, why aren't you sick of hyperbole?
Why am I not sick? Hyperbole is like what America is made of, dude.
I don't want to mention Baltimore, but I thought America was made on something completely different.
You mean like racism and like systematic oppression?
Yes.
I mean, and hyperbole.
Oh, okay. You like, make things fun. Thank you for making things fun and light.
Yeah.
What do you hope to accomplish with your book? We should plug the name of the book. It's called The Field Guide to Awkward Silences by Alexandra Petrie, which is a very good title for a book. Al, you just laughed out loud.
That's a helpful title.
Thank you.
Yeah, a helpful book.
You know what you're getting when you get your book. Does it freak you out that I'm talking to you like a football coach that is really worried about his son?
No, it really does. I'm like, I'm going to get head damage. Whatever happens next, I'm going to go in there and get like a brain injury because of like your football coach demeanor. That was too much work for a football-based joke. I'm sorry, everyone.
I don't think that was a joke, but more of an accurate observation.
Yeah, only accurate
observation. With the problems with the National Football League.
Yeah.
Are you a football fan?
Like, so I feel about football sort of the same way. Like, I will watch it if it's happening, but I'm not going to be super excited. Like, if there's an orgy going on in the room with me, I'll, like, sit there. I'll have chips if there are chips. I won't, like, be excited.
There's chips at your orgies?
Thank you.
No, like, Mike Birbiglia's orgies have cake. My orgies have chips. Like,
how many orgies have you participated in?
Zero.
How many have you seen?
Do
you know what an orgy is?
it's like where a bunch of people play football, right?
That's some Harvard humor right there, everybody. Now, your mom has not read your book.
No, she's going. I'm going to give her a copy tomorrow. It's going to be very exciting.
What do you think's going to happen?
I think she'll. So the thing is, she's read a lot of the parts of the book because I've like snuck them into. So we have this weird tradition. My mom like told me when I was a young and formative child, or like when I was at a formative age. I wasn't a formative child. I wasn't like changing other children, but. That was a misplaced modifier. Harvard humor. So my mom like told
Stop. You're a fantastic guest. I just wanted to say that. Not enough guests correct their grammar and then throw in jokes at the exact same time. I'd like to say thank you, and please continue with your story.
No, my entire life is correcting my grammar and making jokes about it, so that's refreshing to hear. Thank you. No, but so my mom was like, Robert Frost, like for Christmas to his family, he used to give them his poems that he wrote. And I was like, well, Robert Frost can suck it. I'm going to give him a whole bound volume of all my writings. And so like,
wait a second. This is your attempt at sticking it to your mom?
No. This is like the lead up. It's a very long lead up. Like it's not, the payoff is not going to be that big, but basically, so every year at Christmas, I would like give my parents everything I'd written that year. So it'd be like poems. It'd be like a novel about a unicorn if I was like 14, like whatever, like the stuff is that you write at that age. And then like recently it's been like, here's a personal essay. And like, they haven't noticed the increasing trend towards personal essays. So secretly they've read the book. They just don't know it yet. But
you have the healthiest family I've ever heard of.
Like,
are your parents still together?
Yeah. Which is
Let's
exciting.
Talk about that.
Yeah, okay.
Do you think that's helped you in life?
If
you say no, it's a big insult.
No, I'm a big fan of them. I think it's totally helped me.
That's the right answer.
Yeah. Matrimony. Monogamy. Like, hooray. Hand gestures.
Can we talk about your dating life? It's
yes.
too personal.
Oh, no. Go for it.
Are you single right now?
No, I'm dating somebody.
Does the person you're dating also have a book?
He does not have a book.
Do you think he's going to be intimidated by the fact that you have a book?
I've given him a copy of the book to read.
Yeah.
And like he's mentioned in it in the Star Wars chapter, which is the most honorable chapter to be mentioned in, so I feel like he can't have a beef with me. There's a Star Wars chapter, guys. So I was just at the convention out in Anaheim, and it was like amazing, and like I just have all the feelings.
How but was it amazing?
It was, well... A, Carrie Fisher was there, and Carrie Fisher, whenever she's anywhere, it's my favorite thing in the world. Like, I don't think she's allowed to be drunk anymore, but whenever she was having a good time. She was, like, rolling around on the floor, like, making out with dudes from the audience. It was just incredible. She brought a dog on stage. Midway through, she was like, my dog's tongue is hanging out, like Jabba the Hutt's tongue used to do back in the day. And I'm like, this is amazing. Can I be you? How many drugs do I have to do to become you, Carrie Fisher? But
what's your stance on casual drug use?
I think like between consenting drugs, it's totally fine.
Well, drugs can't consent, number one.
No, I'm like,
what will you put into your body in terms of drugs?
Are you offering me drugs?
No. Well, if I had any, yes. But consensually only. Let's make that perfectly clear. Do you really want to be like Carrie Fisher?
I mean, like,
because her life seems incredibly sad to me.
I don't know. I think like she's. If you look at her one-woman shows, like, her increasingly they've been sort of cries for help in addition to one-woman shows.
Yes!
So, like, the most recent one was, like, all my memories are disappearing. Here's a show! And I'm like, this doesn't seem safe. Like,
no, it's not. It's very dangerous.
This seems like it's a problem.
But you seem to live a very healthy, not dangerous lifestyle.
Yeah. No.
Oh, you're so nice.
No, it's not that healthy. I like.
Do you ever get hate mail, honestly?
Yes. Oh.
Who gives you hate mail?
Oh god, all the like it's not hate mail, it's like nightmare mail. It's like all the people who've like figured out what my deepest insecurities are.
Which
like,
is what?
I don't mind like
No, what's your deepest insecurity?
Well, my deepest insecurity is not that I'm like bad, it's just that I'm like mediocre and that I don't have a real constituency among people.
That's like Harvard post-traumatic stress.
That's what that is. Touché, man.
Hey, I'm just
no.
saying.
My biggest fear is dying alone soon and bringing down the people I love dearest near me, like to my levels. Like, that's my biggest fear.
No, like
so, like okay. I destroy my wife's life on accident because I'm such a horrible failure, and then I die alone and I hurt other people. That's my biggest fear.
Okay, well, we're getting to real biggest fears. Like my.
Why would I lie?
No, that's real. That's super real. No,
I'm being a dick. Like, I'm
like,
a dick.
Like in a fire, but like that, but in a fire is my actual biggest fear.
Oh, firemen are great.
Fire? You like fire? Oh, God.
Oh, no,
fire's
no,
the
I don't
worst.
Love fire. I love firemen. I'm totally
oh,
fine.
Firemen.
I am not afraid of dying in a fire. I know firemen. They're cool. Banjo. We're getting to the banjo part. This is a giant segue to the banjo.
Yeah.
You want me to fight that guy with my
fists? No.
Good.
More banjo. I'm
no,
favoring
no,
more
no.
banjo.
This is your time. Disguise is your time. It's really my time, but that's the premise of the show.
No, yeah. All time in the show is your time. Disguise is other people's time.
Yeah.
But
take a drink.
What was I talking about?
I don't know. Your actual darkest, deepest fears.
Nightmare mail.
Oh, nightmare mail. No, like, I'll get a lot of stuff from people who are like, I'm a big fan of Rush Limbaugh. I'm like a ghost from the past. And like, I don't...
Wait, did they say that in the email? I'm a ghost from the past? Because that's a fun email.
They say it on the phone calls.
Do
they don't have email.
Do you get a lot of AOL.com email addresses when you get those?
I get, yeah. AOL.com, like... My Yahoo Mail, I get a lot of those. Rocket Mail.
Rocket Mail?
So, like some Rocket Mail. That's my like fake email address, actually. Like,
what's your fake email address?
It's like my name at Rocket Mail, but I use it for like signing up for email lists.
Okay.
That was a really not payoff the answer.
No, we're gonna cut that from the show and put it at the top of the show and just set
this
the
boring person's gonna talk.
No,
to you
don't
for
talk.
A period
you're
of time.
Not boring. Don't talk like that.
You are like a football coach.
I know, man. I got into Friday Night Lights, man.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. If you take away the traumatic brain stuff, it's the best. Do you want to have kids?
Yeah.
Do you think you'd let them play football?
I'm hoping they'll all be like. Girls or like...
Wait. Why can't girls play football?
Because patriarchy. No, I'm kidding. Patriarchy is just my default go-to answer. No, I don't actually hope they'll all be girls. I hope they'll be whatever gender they want to be. And if they want to play football, I believe in football, but like I will pad the crap out of them.
But that's not possible.
No, I'm going to like send them... like if the team wants Michelin men on the team, I'm totally
chill with
that.
It's not possible.
Then hopefully they won't play.
That's right. That's
okay.
The right answer.
Yeah.
But you will support them in their decisions.
Yeah. Also, I'll give them enough reading material, and I think like I'll create a household environment where like if they're not horrible nerds, like you know something will have gone horribly wrong.
Here's how the show has changed in the past 6 years. Al was here during year one, okay, mm-hmm. in Chicago. I didn't have any guests that were healthy on the show.
Yeah.
Zero. Do you know how weird it is to go from that to this? You're a normal health, and you're not normal. You're succeeding. You're healthy. You're young. You went to Harvard. You got a goddamn book. You're not even. Are you even 30 yet?
No.
That's amazing.
Please don't hate me.
No, stop. Here's how we're different. Here's how I know Kanye West is not your favorite artist of all time. Because
well,
you
I was
just
gonna recommend an artist to you, actually.
You just said, "Please don't hate me," right? I've never said that. I said, fuck you, I'm the best. Even if I didn't believe it, like Kanye West. Who should I listen to? Who's
okay,
the artist suggestion?
Okay, you should Neil Dick.
Neil Dick.
So Neil Dick.
So far, so good.
He's like one of the lowest selling artists on CDBaby.com, but I unironically enjoy his music at this point. Like,
wait, how do you know the artist on CDBaby.com?
Because my ex-uncle's CD is on CDBaby.com, where he covers Sinatra classics. Obviously, that's who on CDBaby.com.
You probably have really fun Thanksgivings.
Oh, yeah. No, we do.
Oh, that's so nice.
It's, yeah. So actually, for Christmas, I got my grandma's bottle of vodka because I like ran out of... I got them vodka and scratch tickets because I hadn't like put my act together.
Were you ironically playing poor or something?
No, they were like... We were like playing like, oh, no, like... I had joked about getting them that, and then I like actually got them that, and now it's great because it's like a cycle where I can just get them vodka and scratch tickets, and they think it's like funny and meta. But
you were ironically playing poor, but that's okay. You deserve it. Don't worry, people don't hate you for that. One of the coolest things about your job is you have an animated—not animated, but a drawn caricature of yourself.
I look like a sexy potato.
Well, like, I feel like that should have ended the interview, but anyways.
I look like an approachable potato.
You look like an approachable.
Like, it's not like a sexy potato. It's just like this potato.
Even in your character, you can't brag.
If you sat next to the potato on an airplane.
Please
like
brag about something right now. Just fucking own it.
I have a huge dick.
Oh, my God. Do you watch RuPaul's Drag Race?
not as much.
Do you know what a television is?
Yeah, I totally.
Okay, good. RuPaul's Drag Race is a... I just said Drag Race.
No, I've seen some of it. I saw, what's her name? Sharon Needles.
Great. Sharon was the best. Sharon was the best winner of all time. We're not fucking idiots. Of course we know Sharon's the best. Anyways, you need to learn their confidence. Because you're amazing. I like the way you sat up straight.
All right, let's do this.
Now,
Descriptions. Audio descriptions. Sorry.
I don't want to change you in any way, though. Here's the thing. And I'm not trying to do this as a male-female thing. It's just like, I'm getting real into coachy bullshit. Trust me.
Okay.
It's getting absurd. You're amazing. Keep making eye contact. I love that.
I'm making
good
so
one.
Much eye contact. It's like almost, they say if you make more than 7 seconds of eye contact with like a male person, you're either going to kill him or make love to him.
Well, you're going to do neither with me.
Yeah, I apologize.
Because I'm a married man. Don't apologize. We're trying to get to the opposite of that. Brag. Real brag right now. Do it.
I have a large vocabulary.
That's not a real brag. Real brag. Go.
I'm good at... This is not good. This sentence did not start well. I'm really good at being self-deprecating.
Oh, my God.
I'm so humble. Oh, my God. Like, the most humble.
I'm going to end this interview because I really, really like you. And I love that you have
I wrote a book. There we go.
Thank you. That's what I was getting
What's
to.
What's the name of the book again?
What's the name of the book?
It's
Thank you, Al.
It's called A Field Guide to Awkward Silences.
And how did you come up with that delightful name?
My life.
That's lovely. It comes out June 2nd.
Buy it. Pre-order it.
Please buy it. Please pre-order it because that shit for some reason actually matters because you want it to debut as high as possible. Is that correct?
It does.
So actually, if you can, throw some money. And usually when you pre-order it,
it's
cheaper.
It's cheaper.
Yeah, it's the cheapest way.
It's like $6 cheaper.
You got to support Harvard. They're a mom and pop shop. They're just an underdog. You just really want them to do well out there. I like you a lot, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, aren't you doing Fringe this year as well?
Yes, I am.
Jesus Christ. And she's doing Fringe Festival this year. She's not just like an actor in a thing. She wrote a thing because she's actually talented.
Yay! Oh. Yay!
God, you're great.
You're great.
No, I'm medium. Don't ever change unless you wanted to brag more. You should totally brag more and make people actually hate you.
Okay, that sounds like a good goal.
No, it's not. It's a horrible goal. Just peep being you. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Alexandra Petrie, everybody.
Yay!
She's great.
You're great.
Himself. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Al Scorch, everybody.
This is a funnier song. What kind of people start giant wars over the bodies of dead dinosaurs that we liquefy and we put in our cars so we can drive to the grocery store and buy all of those precious things that give baby Jesus angel wings? Your toilet paper's dolphin safe, you've got beeswax on your face, all of your money has replaced the need to curb your selfish waste. Where will you be when the world's upturned? Your money's worthless, now you learned. We can't eat it, it'll burn, and so to hell it shall return. To the earth. Now we shall see who is last and who's first. Who's first?
Al Scorch, everybody. You're a very talented man who plays an instrument that's not easy to tune. Coming to the stage is a newish friend. He's not been on the show before, but we both have a mutual love, and that love is Championship Wrestling. It's not a joke. And no offense to you, Norm, your accent makes my love legit. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to the stage, please put your hands together for Norm Corrington, everybody. Norm, do your thing.
I'm just trying to, I'm British, so I'm like being really rock and roll and kicking shit over for fun. How's everyone doing? Yeah. I know what you're thinking. Sorry about that. I hope it still works. Yeah, good. We'll find out, won't we? Yeah. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that's what happens when you give a $50 H&M gift card to a giraffe. And you're laughing, so I know it's true. Joke's on you, though, because this cardigan is from Urban Outfitters. It's three times the price, but five times the douche. Yeah, so as Brandon already mentioned, I'm not American. Recently, at another show, I went on stage and I said, I'm not American, and somebody in the crowd shouted out, good for you. Which is fair enough, but I'm actually from the only country in the world with more collective guilt and shame than your country. And it's not Australia. Once a week, at least, somebody will mistake me for an Australian. And I say to them, why did you think I was Australian? Can I ask why you thought I was Australian? And they'll say, well, because you called me mate. You say mate a lot. And I'll say, yeah, that's our word. They're all our words. I don't date British girls anymore, guys. Don't date British girls anymore. Not because I've gone off them, just because there aren't any here. Like, my friends back home are like, you only date American birds now. You gone off Brits or something? I'm like, nah, mate, I don't live in England anymore. It's tough. Like, I don't know if you can tell, but I'm not fussy. It's not, I can't afford to be ruling out an entire nation of potential partners. Like, I do have a type, though. It's just my type is human, female. And to be honest with you, I'm flexible on either of those. Like, if I had to make a list, it would be number one, human, female. Number two, human, any gender. Number three, female, any species, except insect. I don't think I could commit to something that only lives for 20 hours. Although it wouldn't be much of a commitment, would it? I could have, like, 7 relationships in a week. But I think by the time I got to Friday, people would get suspicious. His last 4 girlfriends died. Also, they were insects. So yeah, three. So it'd be like human, female, human, any gender, female, any species. But I don't know, is gender important if you're having sex with animals? Are people that choosy? Because you're already fucking an animal. Does the sex of the animal matter? Like, I know some people are into that sort of thing. I just wonder if anyone goes up to, like, a stable master and he's like, hello, I'm interested in having sex with one of your horses. And the stable master's like, well, you're in luck because I have a very rowdy stallion right here. And then the guy's like, listen, mate. I said I want to fuck a horse. Didn't say I was gay. I'm not a fucking pervert. Went off on a bit of a tangent there. Thanks. I live in DC now, and I really like DC. It's a really great city, but it is a tough city for British people to live sometimes because it's full of horrible reminders. Like, I get it. You guys won. Yes, I am sorry for the fires. Oh, too soon? I'm apologizing. It's all good. But yeah, we don't learn about that stuff back home. Like, our countries have this shared history that, for obvious reasons, only you guys learn about. Like, the history textbooks in my school were blank from 1776 to... I don't know because I didn't learn about it. Has anyone seen the Will Smith movie Independence Day? In England, that movie is called Day. But yeah, lots of great stuff I like about America. I like the fact that racism is over. I know it's over because a white person on TV told me it's over. Unlike everybody else in this country, in which racism is over, I only trust white people. I'd love to be able to say the same thing for my country, but for something to stop existing, you have to acknowledge its existence in the first place. And although we invented it, we have not yet acknowledged its existence. You guys have a black president, and people are going to point him as evidence of you living in a post-racial society. The closest thing we have to a black president, or black prime minister, if you want to be pedantic, is Idris Elba. Who's not a politician, but he did play Nelson Mandela in a film. For those of you that don't know, Idris Elba is a black British actor. That really narrows it down. It's not Chiwetel Ejiofor. It's the other one. I've actually been writing an article, preemptively writing an article for when citrus fruits replace African Americans as the most oppressed minority in America. And I'm going to call it Oranges, the New Blacks. Yeah, that'll do. what else do I like about America? Let's see. Food's good. The food's good. Barbecue. I really like barbecue. You guys are great at barbecue. Give yourselves a round of applause. But do you know what tastes better than barbecue? Free healthcare. I do apply the same logic when I'm back home, though. I'm like, fish and chips are good. But do you know what tastes better than fish and chips? Not having a queen. People assume that I give a shit about the royal family because I'm British, and I don't. Like, it's hard to really hate the queen because she's just an old lady. But Prince Charles, that cunt can go fuck himself. Like, I wouldn't piss on Prince Charles if he was on fire, but if he wasn't on fire, I would definitely piss on him. In fact, were I presented with an opportunity to urinate on Prince Charles, I think I would struggle to do so. Because the very idea of me urinating on Prince Charles gives me an erection. And it's very, very difficult to piss with an erection. Yeah, people were always asking me, like, oh, did you hear about the royal baby? You must be very excited about the royal baby. Oh, sorry, you must be very excited about the royal baby. And I'm like, yeah, I heard about it, but I think to say I was excited would be a bit of an overstatement. I've seen babies before. Most babies don't cost me money. Most babies. I like think about babies the same way I think about dogs. Right? I think they're great, but I don't want one. And if you want one, that's cool. As long as it doesn't excrete bodily fluids on or near me, then we'll be friends. And I realized recently that I'm very good at pretending to not be annoyed when a friend's dog slobbers on me. You know? So I'll be at my friend's house and I'll be kind of messing around with his dog, just playing with his dog, and look at that, he slobbered all over my Urban Outfitter jeans. And then I'll just kind of go, well, just push the dog away. Well, I better be off. I'll see you later, mate. And then as soon as I'm out the door, I'm just like this. That's a phone, by the way. Hello, ASPCA? Yeah, I'd like to report a rabid dog. Yeah, it's me again. Yeah, speed dial. Yeah. No, there were no babies here this time. Anyway, that's my time. Thanks, guys.
Norm, sit down.
Oh, okay. That looks like fun. Ooh, wait, was this an option? Could I have done the whole set?
No.
Sit down. Like,
Why is it okay for you to say the C word, but it's not okay for me to say the C word?
Someone do the accent. I don't know.
I'd like to thank you for doing some topical humor as Kentucky Derby weekend.
Yeah. Wait, what did I do? Oh, horse sex. Yeah.
There we go. There we go. Are you single right now?
I'm not.
Okay.
No, I'm dating. Sorry, ladies. Don't all kill yourselves at once.
Has any woman killed herself over you?
If they have, I don't know about it. I mean, I know females who have committed suicide, but I don't know if it was because of me.
Did you date them?
Maybe that's why they killed themselves.
Yes or no?
No. That would be why.
So you're saying they killed themselves because they couldn't date you. So what you're saying is you could have saved a life, but you decided not to.
Yeah.
Welcome to an American show, everybody. Norm, you're very funny. How long have you been doing this?
Let's see. Well, I've been performing comedy for several years, but I started off doing improv. I've only been doing stand-up for about 2 years.
Did you start improv here or there?
In the UK.
UK. How's the UK improv scene?
The same as here, but with different accents.
How's the US stand-up scene?
Good. I like the US stand-up scene better than the UK stand-up scene. The UK stand-up scene is very... It runs on nepotism and...
That's very different than how it is in the United States.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, to be a successful stand-up comedian in the UK or a successful actor even, it helps if you went to Cambridge.
Do you realize where the first guest of the show went to?
Cambridge. But Cambridge, Massachusetts, right? Yeah. Okay. Harvard. Yeah. But I don't know. I think it's less. I think you guys, you know, I think it's fairer, right? Did you go to Harvard?
Yeah.
Oh, well, brag. Oh.
Thanks for listening to the first segment of the show. I really appreciate it. People should follow you on Twitter.
Yes, I am on Twitter at Norman Q. NORMANQ. Please do that because I want friends.
You have the most British name on this show other than me.
Your name is Brandon Weatherby. Yeah, that is very British. Yeah.
Yeah.
My name is Norman Quarrington. Thanks, everybody. Should I get off stage now?
Sure. Great show, and put your hands together.
Sorry for ruining everything.
For Norman. That was really good. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Al's going to play a song, and then we're going to have the most awkward segment of the year. We're doing color commentary. It's going to be great. I wonder what we're going to talk about. Now, Al, do you have a song?
Yeah.
Fantastic. The segment after your song is called Color Commentary. We do it every month in Washington, D.C. I do it with my friend Haywood Turnipseed Jr. We've done a show at the Library of Congress together, and just let me tell you, the Library of Congress loves talking about race relations. Big fans. We have not been back. Things happen. We're trying. Why are you laughing? None of that was fake.
Oh, I know. It was just very funny.
Oh, thank you.
This is real.
Yeah.
They don't like to talk about those things.
There's two things you should never talk about in a bar, which is God and politics. And considering the monologue was about ICP and we're going to do color commentary, this show is going to be perfect. You ready?
Yeah. Okay. Time to go now.
No, let's just keep chatting while you tune.
I'm ready. Speaking of race relations, I'm going to play this Woody. I'm fucking serious, man.
I know what song you're going to play, too. I love it.
This is a Woody Guthrie song that he wrote. It's called Hangman Slipknot. It's about it's about black Americans and black people being murdered with impunity, without punishment. And that's pretty much what's still happening today, and it happened back then. And Woody Guthrie wrote this song about it. And it's really unfortunate that we still need to sing it, but we still need to sing it. Have you ever seen Hangman tie Slipknot? Have you ever seen Hangman tie Slipknot? Well, he whines and he whines, and after 13 times he's got a Slipknot. Oh Lord, he's got a Slipknot. you ever lost a brother on that Slipknot? Have you ever lost a brother on that Slipknot? My brother was a slave, and they tried to escape, and they drug him to his grave with a Slipknot. Well, tell me who makes the laws of that Slipknot? Yeah, tell me who makes the laws of that Slipknot? Yes, it's who says who is going to the calaboose, or to get the hangman's noose, or the Slipknot? With a Slipknot, it's time to cut the rope.
El Scorch, everybody. Haywood, Turnip Seed Jr., please come to the stage if you so wish. That was great, Al. I've heard that before from you, and I think it's really great that you're honoring the great band from Iowa. Friends of the family, Slipknot, everybody. Now you know each other. That's my old friend Al, and this is my old friend Haywood, but I've known Al slightly longer, so I don't know who's older at this point. Haywood, what's been going on this week? It's the first and only time he's ever... Well, that's how first works. It's the only time he's ever put the microphone out of the cord.
I know, right? I'm nervous. All that good banjo music. I feel like I'm at a Piccadilly. What the... This year you have never needed color commentary more.
You don't think a white guy playing
a white
banjo?
Guy playing banjo, a fucking Brit? I mean, how much whiter can you get, Weatherby?
I'm trying to get the...
Like, literally, he caused beef between citrus fruit. Fucking, he was like, orange is the new black, and grapefruit is like, what about us, nigga? Fucking lemons are like, we've been here a long time. Whenever you get lemons, make it a lime, some bitch. Scurvy to you, you Brit. Fucking that, and it's, give it to the British to cause fucking dissent between fruit. Welcome to America. Now let's talk about Baltimore. But we're not going to talk about Baltimore. We're going to talk around. Like, most of the white people live around Baltimore. So we'll talk around. Like,
thank you for honoring my target demo. I really appreciate that.
No, because, I mean, here's the thing. Avengers is going to come out this week, right?
Let's get to the real juice, everybody. Avengers.
People are going to go see it and be like, oh, shit, that was awesome. Literally, a bunch of superheroic people are standing up for their rights against metal men because metal men come in and take their shit. Hello, that's the police. See what happened? It was with me right until I said Avengers are the new niggas in the movies. That's okay, but when black folks do it in Baltimore, no! That's right, awkward laughter, baby. Because here's the thing about the whole Baltimore thing. It's not... life is rough. Whenever that people do it in Asia and it was Tiananmen Square, it was like, oh, shit, look at that motherfucker standing in front of that tank. He's strong. You know, when America did it against the Brits, it was a fucking revolution. And when black people just say, hey, wait a minute, what happened? It's like, shut up, nigga. I'm sorry. Quiet, Tony Stark.
Wait, am I the Tony Stark? Or
no, man, you're Thor, Weatherby. Actually, on this show, you're Captain America. I'm the Black Panther, I guess.
He's not an Avenger, right?
Yes, he is.
Is he really?
Sometimes.
I thought Captain America...
See? They put a robot in the movie before, nigga. And you want to know why the youth are upset? The Vision, Android, another British man, fucking... Give a British man an accent, make him a robot. We want the British back. We'll get to you, nigga. First, we got to add Julio. I'm sorry, grapefruit.
Could somebody bring me a drink?
A grapefruit juice.
Seriously, could somebody bring me... Dario, could I get a whiskey? I need whiskey right now.
Whiskey.
Do you want a drink?
I got one. I got
okay,
beer.
Do you want
got,
a second drink?
I got good old fashioned. I'll take a whiskey, too.
Please, two of those.
Two Irish whiskeys.
No, not Irish.
Oh, see? Fucking separatists.
Not, nope, nope. That's just a, nope.
That's a preference?
For liquor, yes.
Oh, we... Kentucky Derby, right? Bring some Kentucky whiskey. Some nigga whiskey. You know niggas put that in a barrel and... Thank you, Kelsey. Big up.
Thank you.
So, here's the truth, though, right? And because you, I love it. You have an Oreos pin, and big up to Mr. Angelos, who was just like, yo, this is like, this is just the situation, man.
Oh, a lot of people don't know what you're talking about. I don't. I'm not saying, but the COO, is that his?
The COO, yeah. It wasn't Pete. It wasn't the dad. It was the...
But it was the CEO, the right. Chief Operating Officer of the Orioles.
Right.
Had a fantastic statement on, like, I think, Sunday?
Yeah, it was Monday, if I'm not mistaken.
Monday,
it was on
and
Monday.
Then Showalter had a fantastic statement,
yeah.
I think, yesterday.
He was like, I'm not black, so what the fuck do you expect me to say?
It's just
as simple. Here's the thing, right? There's nothing really funny about the riots. Like, nothing really funny about this whole situation. This whole situation is just fucked up because white people don't know how to feel. You guys have a lot of guilt. The youth, I know. You guys bought Kendrick Lamar.
Okay, here's where you're wrong. Here's where you're wrong. That album is not perfect, and we discussed that album on the last show.
I know. But
that album is not perfect.
See, that's somebody from the
that
audience.
That album is not perfect.
That's
Darryl.
Your audience
that
talking.
That Tupac track is bullshit.
Hey, guess...
The chat with Tupac is horrible. And you can do a chat with a dead man. Rhymefest did it amazing with the Michael Jackson mixtape. It's possible to do it well. He didn't do it well.
He's in his feelings about that album. White guy bringing up Rhymefest. You can do that. He's a hip-hop head. See, that's racist.
Thank you.
And that's your audience.
Oh, my audience is... All it is racist.
Some of them have white guilt when I'm talking, but when you're talking, they're like, shut up, nigga. So here's the thing, there's nothing really funny about this shit, right? Like I said, because Kendrick Lamar let precedence to, like, he led it in this album how young black people are feeling. I don't know. I'm not a young black person. I'll be 40 years old. I remember Rodney King, so I know, like, you can only go but so far. We have a president. America has a black president, so things are changing. Kendrick Lamar put on the cover of his album. A whole bunch of black people having fun on the White House lawn. So now you're taking these same people, you're taking the same situation, and people are getting shot, and people are seeing this an epidemic, and people don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. White people are like, we want to help. And black people are like, okay, but with what? You don't want to, white people just don't want to, like, give us reparations, meaning just give us money. Like, if you do, give me $20 because I'll take it. I say that to say, there was one funny moment in the entire riot, and it made me rethink my entire thought process. Oh, yes. I had once on this show said that Wu-Tang Clan need to be the new leaders of the civil rights movement, and I would have loved to have seen what would have happened if them nine niggas showed up in Baltimore, just standing there going, we ain't nothing to fuck with. I think that would have been awesome. But since that didn't happen...
Wale showed up!
Well, Wale is great, too. Wale, and, you know, on a nice day. Wale showed up and was like, hey, I'm here. I don't even know how to take Wale, because he rolls with Rick Ross, yet.
And Seinfeld. Do you like Seinfeld? Wale like Seinfeld.
Yada, yada, yada. You know, like Chris Rock said, nobody likes Seinfeld in the Wu-Tang Clan. So my whole point in that is maybe Wu-Tang Clan was too far. There was this moment during the entire riots where one guy fought with all he had to fight with. He brought out his inner Michael Jackson. Yes. And it got me thinking, and it stopped. Like, shit stopped. And it wasn't just him. It was a friend. He had a friend playing the fucking record, which means he has a hype man. Like, you have a fucking banjo player? He had a fucking banjo player. I can't get people to come to a fucking comedy show or like a tweet. This nigga had a fucking dude. He was like, fuck with the radio if you want. We got this shit. And my thing is, you know he rehearsed that. Because if it was a spontaneous moment... See, a spontaneous moment winds up on Glee, right? You're a musician, you know what I'm talking about. Like, you're like, man, I'm just going to use the music to talk to people, and shit just takes over you. And then everybody starts singing, all we are saying is give peace a chance. That shit happens. And it's like a movement. That didn't happen in Baltimore. This dude just literally, somebody went out and pushed play, and he just was like, chicka, 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 They told you, don't you ever come around here. And don't be no, don't be no macho man. They'll kick you and they'll beat you and they'll tell you it's fair. So beat it. This is the hype man. Beat it. Just beat it. I was like, what? This nigga got it. Michael Jackson needs to be the new movie. It's going to bring everybody together. You know why? Unlike the Wu-Tang, who was black and white people like, Michael Jackson was black and wound up white. In theory. And Michael's songs can bring us all together. I mean, we can all remember the time. We can all remember the time when Michael, you know, Magic Johnson was the shit and Eddie Murphy was on the throne and...
Please reference they was, they, please,
oh, yes.
Please we cannot, reference we all, Jam.
We all wanted to scream. That's when fucking Michael Jordan was in the video with Michael Jackson and jamming with Crisscross and Heavy fucking D on the remix. I mean, we all remember when Michael Jackson and Peter, well, no, Peter, what's his name? Paul McCartney told us to say.
Wait, stop. You could think of Paul McCartney.
Peter, Paul, and Mary, motherfucker. I mean, Michael Jackson was a smooth criminal. The woman on the TV.
He was a very smooth criminal.
Very smooth criminal. I mean, the woman on the TV who was beating her son, all she had to say in that moment, even if it wasn't her son, is, the kid is not my son. My name is Billie Jean. I just want this nigga to go home. I mean, Michael Jackson is bad. He is bad. The nigga, if ain't nobody else Mike there, Michael Jackson will be there. Don't nobody hate Michael Jackson. I mean, people think he touched kids and shit, right? All he did was free willies. Will you be there? Hold me. Like the River Jordan, and I will then say to thee, you are my friend. People don't know, but we know when mama said, when mama saw, Mamaku saw. That's the shit. You know why? Because it's just human nature.
That's white people hands in the air music. Did you see that? I couldn't even stop.
Will you be there? White people, will you be there at the next riot? Because it's going to be another one next month. This shit is happening more often than fucking album releases. This shit is amazing. I'm like, here's the thing, man. I'm running out of t-shirts with niggas' names on them. I'm like... Too much, too soon.
That was the one.
Too soon.
That was the one.
That was the one. The kid is not my son. And I don't want him to be, which is why I say we need Michael Jackson in our lives. We need to listen to Michael Jackson every Monday. We just make it Michael Jackson Monday because that will heal the world. Heal the world. Make it a better place. For me and for you and the entire human race, there are people dying. Now, mix the songs. It's all a better land. We gotta make the world a better place for you and me. See, Michael Jackson wrote that. We are the world. We, people, we are the world. And the earth is fucked up. Meanwhile, on planet Earth in Nepal, shit is fucked up.
Remember when Michael Jackson had that song and he's all like, everybody Jew me, and he was
everybody
using...
Everybody sue me.
Yeah, he was Jew using me, Jew me. As a derogatory term.
Then he said, kite
as a
me, like me, don't you black or white me.
Yeah.
That's called They Don't Care About Us.
I know.
He had a video in Brazil in the jails. Only Michael Jackson could do that and then be on stage with Jay-Z. Come on, man. Come on, man. Even Hova fucking sampled Jay-Z.
That's the same guy.
Oh, yeah, whatever. I'm talking about Hova. I mean, Michael Jackson. I messed up somewhere along the line. I should remember the time when I was funny.
This was the most lack of conversation we've ever had on color commentary.
This is actually commentary.
Yeah, it was just commentary.
Last time, you know what happened? Last time we had Bill Cosby to save us. Last time we had a riot, we had Bill Cosby to save us that we led into the riot. This time, actually, Bill Cosby also did get accused this week, but people were like, you know what, really? people just tired of bullshit. They're like, really? I'm going to go watch Avengers and pretend it's a riot. But better do it before 10 o'clock if you live in Baltimore. Curfew. I don't know why you guys are sad. Like, the people got indicted and the fucking cops got arrested. This is the best case ever. I don't give a fuck what happens to them, for right now, them niggas are locked up. Enjoy the night, motherfuckers. Because they don't really care about us. Enjoy your night. Sleep tight, motherfuckers. Sleep with one Nick Fury eye open. I'm looking for more Michael Jackson references. ABC, motherfucker. See your ass out of the fucking police force. I love the mayor in Baltimore.
That's a stretch. That's a stretch.
She is the shit.
That wasn't a reference. You just, here's a song, and then here's nothing.
Don't talk about what I should be doing.
That's right.
Here's what I love about
Baltimore. That's what I was waiting for.
Here's what I love about Baltimore. They handle business. Fuck Ferguson. Fuck New York City. Baltimore handle business. That black woman was like, fuck this shit. You niggas is going to be in the house at 10 o'clock, and you fucking cops are going to jail. And then the fucking DA said, I got you, sister. These motherfuckers is really going to go to jail because we got a case against these sons of bitches. And then what they did with the nigga who took the footage, y'all don't know this shit, the nigga who got the footage, they got him in protective custody just so don't nothing happen to him before the goddamn trial. Fuck this shit. It's over. You niggas ain't got to have white guilt no more because we about to have justice. Long live Michael Jackson. Only a motherfucker from Gary, Indiana could unite the races like that. Only a motherfucker from Gary, Indiana. Fuck, shit. Pepsi is the choice of a generation.
We should do.
I'm going to drink a Pepsi outside the courthouse. Be like, do the moonwalk up at that bitch. Yes. I'm so, man, yes, I'm happy.
But we should do a show in Baltimore.
We can. Before 10 o'clock.
Yeah, it's going to end early.
I got a show Sunday in Baltimore. We'll see.
Yeah. is it still going on?
Yeah. I mean, you know, here's the thing. What we saw on TV was not as bad as what
happened. We could all agree in the room. What we saw on TV is just porn.
Well, we know that.
It's horrible porn.
We live in D.C. We know that. If it was really bad, they'd have been down 295.
Yeah. So, anyways, we're all in agreement with this.
Hey, put it this way. Here's the beautiful part. You guys are aware of what's happening. So the people on the outside are the ones that's fucked up.
That doesn't make me feel any better.
Yes, it should. You safe. You, put it this way. You on my list of safe white people.
Thank you so much. Guys, that's why I do the show. I just want to be a safe white person.
Don't fuck with the Weatherbees.
Thank you so much. Her last name is not Weatherby.
Well,
she
you
would
better
not
change it, Miss.
No, no, no. I wouldn't do that.
Weatherby Snell. Snell Weatherby, I don't know. My wife's last name ain't Weatherby either.
You know how you know you're getting older is when you end up liking like photos on Instagram of like kids that aren't yours.
Oh, yeah, that's sweet. You know how you know you're getting older? When your Instagram is full of your friend's new couches.
His Instagram.
Look at this amazing
shut
couch
up,
that
shut
I bought.
Up, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up.
Fuck your couch, nigga.
What's your Instagram? I follow you. What's your? Is it Woody Seed?
At Woody Seed.
On Instagram?
Yep.
I follow him on Instagram, and there's a photo of him and his children in a. Is like a. What are those called?
They rolling in a little Mercedes.
Yeah.
A fucking battery powered Mercedes. Get on, motherfucker. Tesla, nigga. Save the planet. It's a Tesla. This shit ain't even fucking the ozone layer. And they got a little iPod they can plug into that bitch and listen to their playlist. You should hear that. Little Einstein. Little Einstein. It's a remix with trap music. That shit is hot. I'm not even bullshit. Southeast, we do that shit right. We ain't afraid of you fucking motherfuckers.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. People in Southeast are definitely afraid of me.
No, not you. I'm talking about the people listening.
You mean people in cubicles? I think they're safe.
No, the real white people.
Wait, who do you think listens to this show?
Oh, people listen to your show, Brandon.
No, but like who?
Brandon, I work.
Is this a rally?
I work at an art gallery, and somebody was like, "Are you on that show? You, me, them, everybody?" I was like, "Sometimes," and they was like, "I listen," and I was like,
For the listener at home, he's making a disgusted face.
I was like, you're like really white. Like, I know white people, but like, you like,
thank
like,
you.
I know your people had slaves.
Me?
Not yours, theirs. I was like, really, Mr. DuPont? Like, they were like, yeah, this shit is awesome. Plus, we want to know what's going on in the world. You're a cool guy. How else did we get into the Library of Congress?
Yeah.
And out the same day.
Yeah.
That wasn't my fault, though. Because he said it like we had.
No, I didn't say it.
I just told a joke about roots.
Yeah. I was like, right before the show, I was like, I'm sorry, it's got to be clean. It's not my disease. He's like, oh, it could be clean. But he still did a giant section about roots, which was fucking hilarious. Because I figured, like, you get one shot, who gives a shit?
Just That's do it. It. That's it. LeVar Burton, he liked it. He retweeted it. Here's the joke, because you guys want to hear the joke now, right? I was like, growing up, I really didn't like watching Roots, because before I learned about Roots, I watched Reading Rainbow. And when I watched Reading Rainbow, and then I started watching Roots, that's the same nigga that's in Reading Rainbow. The fuck is in that book? He took a look at it. I was only in school for 8 hours. What the fuck? What happened during the course of a day? And why is Mr. Brady so goddamn mean to this motherfucker? And Lou, Mr. Brady and Lou, like Ed Asner was the son of a bitch in that motherfucker. I was like, really? That's when I found out about acting, and I was like, that ain't acting for some of the motherfuckers.
Well, so. That's actually the perfect way to end this segment. Haywood will maybe be performing in Baltimore on Sunday. Follow Haywood @WoodySeed and great follow plan. Him on Instagram and like his adorable photos of his adorable children.
That's right.
In we a want Mercedes.
Him. Yeah. Hey, give it up for Haywood. Again, that was hilarious. All that talk about Michael Jackson kind of made me want to tell you guys that there's something that I want you to know. I'm talking with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways, and no message could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and then make the change. Yeah. See you guys. All right, I'll play a couple more. Now that we have separated some of the wheat from the chaff. All right, I'll see you.
question.